Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with college basketball, sponsored by Popeye's Chicken. Good. All right. Other than Kansas City's Arrowhead Stadium, I've spent more time inside the University of Kansas's Allen Fieldhouse than any other American sports venue. In my 16 years as a sports columnist for the Kansas City Star, I probably watched 100 basketball games inside the fog. I saw Paul Pierce grow from boy to young man. I saw Roy Williams make Kansas fans giddy by rejecting North Carolina, and Roy Williams break the hearts of Kansas fans by embracing North Carolina. I saw Danny Manning return as an assistant coach. I saw Mario Chalmers perfect the shot that would one day win a national championship. Allen Fieldhouse is a special place for me. For the Blue Bloods who have owned season tickets at the Fog for 30, 40, and 50 years, Allen Fieldhouse is a sacred place. In their minds, brawls and mayhem are beneath the dignity of Fog Allen. In their minds, the ending to last night's Sunflower Showdown, the rivalry between Kansas and Kansas State, was an abomination and a blight on the reputation of a basketball program that thinks of itself as Duke Midwest. With 1 second to play and Kansas leading by 19 points, Kansas big man Silvio DeSosa stood over and taunted a fallen K-State player, sparking an ugly melee that is being called college basketball's Malice in the Palace. Both benches cleared. The brawling moved into an area reserved for handicapped fans. DeSosa picked up and cocked a chair and luckily had it swiped from his grip by a second party. No one was injured. I'm not even sure if any punches landed, but there's a lot of damage here. Legendary broadcaster Dick Vitale called for DeSosa to be removed from the team. For now, Self has suspended DeSosa indefinitely, pending a review by Kansas and the Big 12. But the person facing the harshest punishment is likely a non-player, Kansas coach Bill Self. Self is my second favorite coach in any sport after Roy Williams. Self is a tremendous strategist, a terrific motivator, and just flat out a good dude. He led the Jayhawks to an incredible 14 straight Big 12 titles. He replaced Williams, who was beloved, and then surpassed Roy in terms of accomplishments at Kansas. The only aspect he couldn't match Williams in is in creating that sacred place feeling inside the fog. Williams recruited choir boys like Jock Vaughn, Wayne Simeon, Rafe LaFrenz, and Nick Collison. Self recruits tough guys like Marcus and Markieff Morris, Sharon Collins, and Silvio DeSosa. The Blue Bloods at Kansas have likely had their fill of tough guys. The program's reputation has suffered a string of hits in the past 2 years. DeSosa's recruitment sparked an NCAA investigation that is still ongoing. DeSosa set out his freshman year and has been an absolute bust this year, averaging 2.8 points. Snoop Dogg brought strippers, stripper poles, and profane music to Kansas's Midnight Madness tip-off in October. I think the Blue Bloods of Kansas are going to thank Bill Self for his 17 years of service and ask him to coach an NBA team next season. That will be the fallout from the brawl in the fog. All right, joining the desk now is Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. Marcellus, get us rolling. Should Bill Self leave for the NBA after this season?
No, not at all. Especially using this incident to start that movement and start that energy, I would stay still. He makes $4 million a year. That's top five in basketball. Let's talk about his job security, which you are afforded at a blue blood that he's at in Kansas. And that job security makes me want to stay and makes it more attractive to just keep going with the status quo. Look at this, a down year for Duke. It's a down year for North Carolina, Kentucky. You take advantage of those situations. And in the end game, this is still the third-ranked team in the country. So do we blame a Mike Tomlin when we watch a Mason Rudolph swing a helmet? How much do you put on the coach? This game was basically over, and the player went out of bounds and out of bounds in terms of ethics, in terms of what you're supposed to do in sportsmanship. So this shouldn't land fully on Bill Self. Tremendous coach who won a national championship, been to three Final Fours, and overall is still doing the end game in the end job.
Myles Garrett swung the helmet in Freddie Kitchens, but go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
The question is, if he were to go to the NBA, would there be a head coaching spot available? Now, Bill Self is very close with R.C. Buford of the San Antonio Spurs. R.C.'s KU roots are very deep, and those guys are very tight from what I understand. That's not necessarily an opening. Are we talking about him coming and joining the front office or taking an assistant coach's job? Now, the Spurs have done that. When Quinn Snyder, things got a little tough for him, that was a place. Jim Herrick got a job with the Spurs. They've been known to be a safe haven for college coaches who need a little timeout or a little, maybe a little rehab. As far as, and the Spurs have a lot of people from their tree that run other teams. But as I look across the board at those teams, none of them are looking for a head coach. So if Bill comes in, is he willing to come in as an assistant? Is it a matter of just getting out of
college? We got two different narratives on Bill Self.
Okay.
And you can push back because I may be wrong here, but my narrative is Bill Self is such an accomplished college coach. And if you know his work, he's not just a candidate for jobs connected to the San Antonio Spurs. He would be the best available coach on the market, probably not named Rick Pitino, and Rick Pitino's not going to the NBA. To me, he's the best. He's a candidate for any job in the NBA.
His ability to get a job that's going to give him the security that's going to top what he has in college basketball, I don't know that he's going to find that.
The opportunity's missing.
Yeah, somebody may give him a shot. Somebody may want to hire him as a head coach. Yeah. They're not going to give him the Mike Krzyzewski sweetheart deal. And here's the thing. Even Coach K said, you know what? I know where I'm king. It's college basketball. As good as Bill Self may be, the NBA is an entirely different animal. And I've seen it swallow up plenty of good college coaches who weren't able to operate, and they were never quite the same.
The guy won 14 straight conference titles. And I'm stressing that point to say, he can go coach the Sacramento Kings for 3 years. He can go coach my Indiana Pacers for 3 years. He can go to Charlotte and coach for Michael Jordan for 3 years. Flop and get a huge Power Five conference job back in college after the smoke is cleared. Going to the NBA doesn't end him as a head coach. It just says 17 years here at Kansas. I know that fan base, that crowd quite well. They like this the Snoop Dogg thing, the NCAA investigation, the kids, and just the way they want to be perceived, they're uncomfortable right now. And if Bill Self needs to go take a timeout and see if he's a great NBA coach, which I think he would be, this is the time to do it. And then he can still circle back if it doesn't work and get a great college job.
Is there enough smoke from this situation? I think right now they're telling on themselves in terms of trying to register what the blowback is. Therefore, the suspension is indefinite.
Right.
You're talking about there.
How long does it have to be?
Yeah, how long does it have to be based on how you guys are responding?
Right.
The Snoop Dogg situation was a misstep from top to bottom. One, the kids weren't even wanting Snoop Dogg to come out there. These kids are in their late teens, early 20s. They get mad when they see Game or someone from the 2000s or 50 Cent, let alone Snoop from the 90s. So that was just a misstep. That doesn't land on Bill Self. Why would I want to voluntarily take a step, a timeout, when I'm not going to get forced out from a job this secure? And this. Well,
what I'm saying is, and again, it's not about the kids. There are 100 Kansas basketball boosters, alums, season ticket holders who really matter. And among that group of 100 people, they're like, the brand of Kansas was Roy Williams and Jock Vaughn and Jock and the Beanstalks, and we're Duke Midwest, and this is how we see ourselves. Kansas keeps creeping further and further away from that. And as long as they were winning titles, 14 straight, and three Final Four appearances, everything's all good. But when you couple that with an NCAA investigation, this is Larry Brown all over again, and Self is off the Larry Brown tree. It was the NCAA heat that made Larry Brown, who jumps anyway, but that's what ended things at Kansas, and it was great. He took them to a national championship with Danny Manning, blah, blah, blah. But did he really fit the brand of Kansas? the way Roy Williams did and the way these fans perceive themselves. And so, again, I love Bill Self, man. This guy is a tremendous coach. He's one of the best people I know. Sometimes the fit is not perfect in a college basketball situation where people perceive themselves one way. And then if I'm Bill Self, who rattled off all the schools? You rattled off all the schools that are down. College basketball is down. The powerhouses, because college basketball just doesn't have the luster. And it's great that you get the $4 million payday. But I think he can go get paid a lot of money in the NBA and circle back to college basketball if necessary. I just think the allure of Kansas and winning at Kansas, the way you have to go about it, is difficult to keep sustaining this longevity that Self has.
Look, John Beilein just texted me and said, man, let me tell you how it is.
He can circle back.
Between college and Michigan and now being in the pros, it's a whole different animal. If you talk about culture changes in college basketball, let's look at Duke. Duke used to profess, we're not a one-and-done campus. We're not a one-and-done program. They're one and done now. That's how you evolve with certain situations. And sometimes you take a turn in ethics to the point where you look at this situation. He makes $4 million a year. And you know why he doesn't make more? Because the governor voted for him to get paid through an LLC. Therefore, he's going to get tremendous tax breaks to keep him out of the state funding. That means everyone's involved in this. That means we have given you the green light, Bill Self, to do what you do. And that's being a winning program, third in the nation right now. And I think he has that support. Maybe not those 100 boosters, but the governor is even involved in terms of compensation for him.
And there's no doubt, but I don't think the relationship with the athletic director is ideal. Mm. It's not the guy who hired him. And again, I just think it's a perception thing. I want to move on to what should Bill Self do with Silvio DeSouza?
One, I think you just need to be definitive. Like, let's not grandstand. Let's not hold this guy out there in the middle of the town square for everyone to throw their shots at. This is still a youngster, 21 years old. Obviously, you don't want to throw away his career and his opportunity to evolve in his career, but suspend him for this year. I would take that as a maximum sentence. You're done for the year, not only for starting the brawl, but also trying to really escalate it in terms of picking up the chair. But I just don't like the fact that there's some pageantry in terms of his suspension, indefinite, until we find out what's the blowback and what are the real consequences. Unfair to this kid.
I think you're right. And they're tipping their hand in terms of they're trying to figure out how much do we have to suspend him to satisfy the critics out there? Mm-hmm. For me, it's if you suspend him for 3 to 5 games, I am good. And let's, by the way, Kansas, let's teach our players how to dribble out the clock, because this happened against Monmouth last year. Mm. This very same thing. Blowout game. They're not dribbling out. They're dribbling out the clock. Somebody steals it and goes the other way. It's as much, I want to know what Bruce Weber's saying to DeJuan Gordon about, what are we doing? We're down 21. Well,
I think he addressed that last night, though. You can't take the competitor out of these kids.
It's a Mickey Mouse move. But give me the competition the first 39 minutes.
Yeah,
don't give it to me in the last minute when
15.
You're down by 21.
Yeah, 21. And
do you want KU instead? Do you want KU instead? You know what? We're going to put it on you. We're gonna dunk on you until the very last second.
I can't beat up the kid for stealing the ball and competing to the end. He shouldn't have done it, but I'm not going to beat him up. I'm also not going to beat up DeSouza, to be quite honest with you. I'm right there with you with the 3 to 5 game suspension. I'm going to defend Kansas's move here of the indefinite suspension. I don't think you have to make some instantaneous decision. The reason to do that is to satisfy the media. If you're really about what's best for the kid, what's best for his teammates, what's best for our program, go ahead with the in-depth, pump the brakes, take a beat, figure it out, let the Big 12 come in and say what they want to do. But with all young people, and I know what he did, and I'm not blaming Dick Vitale for being heated in the moment. If I had to be on TV in the moment, in the aftermath after that, I might have said the same thing as Dick Vitale. Having had 12 hours to watch a bunch of tape, consider my thoughts, think of the dumb things I've done. No, I'm not for season suspension. I'm not for kicking him off the team. 3-5 games. Let's keep learn a lesson. The kid's already been a flop. He's learning lessons. so I'm just 3 to 5 games.
I, I said maximum sentence. I could hear you take me to the end of this year. Fine, that's the maximum. I understand 3 to 5, but I don't understand indefinite. One, you already saw what occurred. You've seen every single angle, every single ISO, every single shot. Stop, what are you waiting for? You're hiding behind perception. You're hiding behind criticism. You're hiding behind what others perceive the situation as. And then you're gonna rule? If you've seen every angle and you know what happened, this was an occurrence. This is not an investigation. Why did you stand over him? Why did you block his shot? We know those answers. So for them to do this, they're not being genuine.
Well, what if they want to do what's best for DeSosa? But again, they got their 100 or so boosters, hardcore fans. How's it going to land with them? And if they want to take their temperature, because again, the money they spend and pour into that program makes the difference and makes the experience. I would make sure that everybody as a family is on board with what we're going to do with DeSosa.
I get that, but you are, by definition, you are now handing the reins over to people outside of your program.
No, you're making the decision. You're just taking in more information. Well, y'all got kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever, like, discipline your kids in the moment and then the next day be like, I was a little too hard or I was a little too soft? I should have pumped and I reconfigured.
But
what
I tell you what I never do. You know what? I'm just gonna think about your punishment forever, indefinitely. You're indefinitely on timeout. No, hell no. You're on timeout for 5 minutes. Sit your butt over there. That's it. Like, this indefinite part is just so disingenuous, and they're hanging the kid out there because they don't know what to do behind closed doors.
That is the heart of it. Yeah, well, that's what troubles me. It's not a matter of we're taking
everything. Oh, you set out for a year and a half.
You will?
It's we're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
Somebody tell us what to do. That's the vibe that I get.
And you told them 3 to 5 games.
TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence. Like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2 and then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
All right, we're headed to Miami next Monday, and Speak for Yourself and all of our FS1 studio shows will be live at Loomis Park on South Beach. As we get ready for Super Bowl 54, we'll have special guests and giveaways, so come join the fun. That Dudes is sponsored by Crown Royal.
Where it at?
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley.
Miami.
Joined now by Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh and longtime NFL quarterback Steve Berline. It's time for That Dude's News.
Yes.
Marcellus, what you got?
2 tons of fun. Big dogs up here in the trenches. About to bring the pain. You know what this is, That Dude's News. Let's start off with number 3. Dennis Kelly. Namaste. Number 71, Dennis Kelly. Blocks for a beat. Then, causes an earthquake. Heaviest player to ever catch a postseason touchdown. 321 pounds. How did it happen? A little peek and leak here. Frank Clark and Damian Wilson, linebacker, have their eyes on the mesh point. Not looking at their responsibilities. Plenty of room for my man to go out there and catch a touchdown. Namaste. Kelly used his whole body to catch it and actually showed some good halasana pose. And you know what? Respect to the vinyasa flow. Dennis Kelly, you are third That Dude of the
Athlete.
Week.
He's an athlete.
Nick Bosa, he an athlete too. Netflix and chill. Nick Bosa gets bottled up initially, but holds the edge and corrals Aaron Rodgers for a sack. And doesn't know what to do right here. Look at this, hands off. Going against David Bakhtiari. Ooh, good first move, but as you know, offensive linemen can replace. You see that? That's called hand replace him. So he's like, man, I'm gonna stay out here just Netflix and chill, dog. I ain't gonna do too much in this moment. Oh, you gonna come to me, Aaron Rodgers? So many sacks are made if you're just disciplined in the moment. And he's like, so what happened, dog? All right, I tried to do this, but man, he blocked that. So then I said, all right, I'm just gonna stay out here. Look at Aaron, he gonna come over here. He said, oh, that worked? Nah, not really, but I still got the sack. You like it? All right, that's my dog. I'm still getting paid. Nick Bosa, number 2, That Dude of the Week. Let's go with number 1. Ooh, this boy worth the money. Frank Clark in the playoffs especially. Tornado warning. First you don't succeed, dust yourself off and spin again. That's what he did right here.
You know
it's that Ryan Tannehill. Oh, I know that. That's Conor McGregor with that walk right here.
Oh, that's Hakeem Olajuwon.
Look at this. Oh, my God. Yeah, face spin on Shaq early years. Look at that, creating a little tornado. Oh, Tannehill, what happened to you, big dog? I'm falling. I can't get up. Man, the wind got you, brother. And I don't know what's going on here. Spend some of that money, Frank Clark. You are number one that dude of the week.
Dream shake on the football field. Man, all right, thank you, Marcellus. That was awesome. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas. After a season's worth of drama over Dak Prescott's contract, Stephen Jones says the quarterback's new deal is the team's top priority this offseason, saying it's been urgent for them to get it done. But ESPN's Ed Werder thinks Dak is actually at an advantage now, tweeting, quote, Dak Prescott has tremendous leverage in contract negotiations with the Cowboys. The coaching change to Mike McCarthy makes his involvement leading the offseason program and mastering whatever changes there are in the offensive system all the more critical. He can't participate without a contract. Y'all buying Ed's logic here? Does Mike McCarthy give Dak Prescott more contract leverage?
Absolutely. Something that we've been talking about. I've been beating this drum. Talking about the report date in April. You talk about franchise tag day in March. That's leverage for Dak because in times of change and turnover, you got to highlight the constant. And what's the constant? At your most important position, you have a guy in Dak Prescott who had a career year. So now Dak is sitting there certainly benefiting from the changes on the sidelines and the fact that you need him as a field general to be that constant. So, yeah, more leverage to Dak Prescott.
I'm going to say no for the simple fact that if he does – to have leverage, you got to be willing to use it. I don't believe Dak Prescott on a franchise tag will say, I'm not showing up. Mm. He will show – and if I'm the Cowboys, I non-exclusive franchise tag, I'm like – let's see what you can get on the open market. And if we don't want to match this offer, we'll take the two first-round picks, try to move up and draft one of these rookie quarterbacks. I don't believe Dak Prescott on the franchise tag will say, okay, I'm not going to show up. He just doesn't come off as that guy. And if I'm the Cowboys, I also want to see how he performs in his system before I sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal anyway.
I agree with that. And I think that when you look at the situation, I think Dak and his people, his advisors are going to sit there and say, wait a minute now. We got a pretty good situation now with McCarthy here. We got a good team around you. Where else can you go where you're going to walk in and have this kind of an environment already built and ready to go? And you know McCarthy's track record as a head coach with quarterbacks is very, very solid. I think, agree with TJ, that he's not going to the kind of rock the boat kind of guy where he's going to not honor that franchise tag. I think the Cowboys are going to extend it to him, and they'll tell him in good faith that we're going to try and negotiate, try and get this contract up to where it makes sense to both sides. Either way, I think he's going to be there through the offseason. I don't think he's going to exercise any kind of pressure by holding out or threatening to hold out.
I'm not sure what Dak's going to do because I think that his agent, Todd France, a hell of an agent, but may have Dak out over his skis. And so I'm not sure what they're willing to do. They may not show up. But I don't think Dak's leverage is enhanced because, one, they've already announced Kellen Moore is coming back as the offensive coordinator. They're going to basically run the same offense. And so I don't think Dallas has some great fear of, oh, my God, Dak won't be here for the offseason. He'll be playing catch-up with the offense. I don't think that's their fear. I think the Cowboys – and Jerry Jones probably have rightfully figured out a long time ago what I've been saying. Who else would pay Dak $35, $34, $33 million? I don't think anybody would. And they may have to call this dude's bluff to get him to accept a contract that they think is reasonable.
It's time somebody up here put some respect on Dak's name and his level of gangster. And I'm going to be the one who does it. He had a $33 million deal sitting there on the table. You know what he did? I don't want that. That's gangster. You talking about he's not going to show and prove or he's not going to test them when they try to franchise him? Oh, yes, he is. The same guy who has that kind of mojo mindset that I'm looking at $33 million when I'm an average quarterback at the time, not even on a career year, and I just dismiss it. Oh, he's ready. And they're ready to give him what he wants because Kellen Moore is in place. Why is he in place? give Dak what he needs. Give Dak what he wants. Keep that constant. I don't look at it like you look at it. I look at it like, Kellen Moore, you were saved because of the greatness or the belief in Dak Prescott. So if you're going to give him what he wants in terms of coordinator, you're not going to give him what he wants in terms of contract and try to call his bluff, bad move.
This is the same. This is like Kirk Cousins all over again, I think. If you ask a quarterback on a good team who puts up good numbers, has he won a playoff game? No, he hasn't won a playoff game.
He did win one. Don't do that.
He won, okay, a couple years ago. I can't even remember when that was. But the bottom line is, did he win the big games? The last 2 years, zero playoff games. All right, so he doesn't have that leverage working for him. He didn't win any of the big games this year down the stretch. I think that works against him. Now, he's going to get the money at some point. It's not going to be anything more than I think that $33 million that the franchise tag is going to be.
Way more than that.
Franchise tag is going to be $33.5 million.
Yeah.
And you bet on yourself. And that's obviously what he's doing. And if I'm the Cowboys, I'm not going with the non-exclusive franchise tag. You have to give him the non-exclusive. I'm not going with it's $25 million. I think that's Dak Prescott should get paid. But I'm with Jason on this one. Let's see what you can get out there. And
that's how you treat your franchise quarterback. You keep the coordinator for him and say, hey, you know, go see what you can get. Hey, oh, come back. We love you.
It's never personal.
Oh,
it's just business.
And that's bad business. You're right. It's business, but then I'll bring
also,
you back in here.
It's also bad business. Lock him in on a deal, a five-year deal that he wants, and he doesn't come through on that. You've now committed all
He's
that money to him.
He's top five in passing rating
numbers,
all time.
In numbers.
Okay, and guess what? They're going to have – the defense didn't live up to expectations this year. Ezekiel took one baby step backwards.
None of those guys on the defense or at the running back position are asking for $35, $36 million.
That's the position. That's what
the
market
is. No, I get the position, and that's why they're looking at him differently. You have to produce at a massive level for people to feel good about paying you that kind of money. Trust me, the L.A. Rams do not feel good about Jared Goff and what they're paying.
Do the Eagles feel good?
Yeah,
He's never won a January game.
You're asking whether the Eagles feel good.
Mm-hmm. If I'm the Eagles, I don't feel good.
I'm still scratching their head.
They're
still
wondering. I mean, the dude hadn't played but one quarter in January.
Right,
he got hurt, but I think they feel a lot better.
Always.
They feel like he can do it. The Rams got major questions about Jared Goff, and I just don't think – I think Jerry and him are protecting Dak from himself. Man, you come in there making $35 million a year – you got to be better than what he's shown to survive that locker room at that pay.
I think Mike McCarthy wants him under the exclusive franchise tag. Behind closed doors, I think he wants him under the exclusive franchise tag so he can look at him for a year and say, is this the guy I want to build everything around moving forward?
Yeah, that will give him all the leverage in the world, right? That gives him all the leverage then.
Having the number one offense didn't give him all the leverage? Having the second most wins since he's been a quarterback in the NFL?
8-8 last year.
Huh?
8-8 last year.
That's what's even more mind-blowing. He has the second most wins, and he threw an 8-8 in there. He's like,
but that's because he's been healthy.
8-8, and I'm still
stuck for me lately.
He hasn't won one.
Coming up.
That's it.
Presented by Hyundai. Whitlock and Wiley joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and Rams offensive tackle, former LSU Tiger national champion. Now it looks like an NBA small forward. Andrew
Whitlock. For real.
Did you pass out any money after that national championship game?
I did. Only a couple ones to my kids.
All right, let's move to the Super Bowl.
Keep it in the family.
Where we'll see a showdown of great offense versus great defense this year, with the Chiefs leaning on Patrick Mahomes, a mess of weapons, and Andy Reid, while the 49ers have had a dominant pass rush and the NFL's number two ranked defense this season. Historically, teams with a top two defense have played in 20 Super Bowls, and their record is 15-5 all time. Would you rather have a great offense or a great defense in the Super Bowl?
You already know your boy. Great offense. Look, I played defense my entire life. Trust me, there's no worse feeling then when you go out there and you lose a close game and it's 13-10 or 13-3, that point. In the game of football, it's better to outscore them because it's hard to lose 40-37. It's hard to go out there and say, we already spotted ourselves four touchdowns. Good luck to them to catch up. So to me, that's not even a conversation. Pop Warner, JV, B's, football, whatever it is. You light up that scoreboard, the chances of you winning those games goes up tremendously.
You know what? I'm going to be with you. I say great offense, because the reality is you look at it, most of the teams that are the highest scoring in the league are the teams that are having the most success and are winning a lot of football games. And I look at big games like we had last year with Kansas City and in a high-scoring affair. I like being in that game a whole lot better than I do being in a 13-3 when you're looking for any way you can score possible. And you also look at the success of these two teams. You know, one team may have a great defense and the other may not. They may be just be a solid defense, but the reality is both of them score a ton of points. Yeah. And that's why they are where they are, and that's why I'm going offense.
Sounds good. Super pretty. Heading into the Super Bowl.
Here you go.
Week. Pro Bowl week. Mm. Offensive rules. Fines are all to protect the offense, but it's the defense. It's easily and clearly undisputed. It's the defense. Why? Think about the uniqueness of what a defense has to do, right? You look at an offense, what does the offense got to do? Score. That's it. Score, get off the field. Y'all go, big uglies, do your work, you know, talk it through. Quarterbacks, talk it through. But the defense, they go out there, they have to act as the defenders. They have to act as special teams. They have to act as an offense. Who else has that many responsibilities other than the defense? I'll say no one, right? They can score touchdowns. They can give you field position. And those are the actual functions of what a defense does.
I would rather have a great defense, because I've just seen defenses snatch souls, man, and just break a team mentally. I saw Baltimore with Ray Lewis back in 2000, the greatest Super Bowl performance I've ever seen from an individual player, and he snatched the soul, I think it was the Giants, the Baltimore, and just destroyed them single-handed. It was Trent Dilfer, his quarterback. That defense destroyed teams mentally, and that's why, and again, that's why they're 15-5 in Super Bowls, and so I'm about winning. I would rather have a great defense than a great offense. Having said that, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes than San Francisco's defense.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not actually why defenses win in big moments in Super Bowls. It's because to play defense is primal. All else fails, hit color. See color, hit color. Offense, you can get so cute that you could kind of talk your way out of situations. And I hate to say it, but, you know, you can see an offense rolling. And then they try to disguise things or say, oh, they're going to try and stop this, so let's just do it plan B first. And that's what happens in big moments. So you get into a situation where I think the anxiety of an offense can come back to bite you, whereas in the defense, you can always fall back on just hit the opposite color.
You think about the Rams, though. Think about the Rams when they were the greatest show on turf, right? Yeah. When you Patriots went into that game and the Patriots just began to establish who they were going to be as a dynasty team, what was it that dominated that game? What was it that separated the best from the rest? It wasn't the greatest show on turf. You talk about snatching souls. Did you see what Ty Law was doing out there snatching on the souls. Edges and Lawyer Malloy and what they were doing?
All illegal now.
Well,
I want to move to the second question. Right. And Andrew, I want to come straight to you. Can the Chiefs offensive line do anything with this 49ers pass rush? Can they handle it?
Well, I think they can handle it. I think that, you know, obviously Mahomes is the X factor there, is his ability to move and get out of the pocket and make plays. The difference really for this group's going to be, you look at really, you know, the edges, they got two great tackles in Fisher and Schwartz. Both of them have played well and protected the passer this season. And they're going to be facing their two of their best in D Ford and Bosa. But inside is a matchup I'd like to look at is Wisniewski, because you think of really Armstead and Buckner. Wisniewski's done a great job, but Armstead and Buckner have had a lot of success against shorter guards. That's where they tend to feast. They're big, tall, long-rangey guys. So the interesting thing for me is always with quarterbacks, that middle pressure. When there's pressure up the middle, those edges sometimes they can dodge, but when that middle guy's coming, that's trouble for a quarterback, because they start to lose where they can get out of the pocket. And you know what? I'd say that this group right here in San Fran has played as good as I've seen up front in a while in the front four. And I think they're going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I think Mahomes leaning into his mobility is really going to be an asset. The 49ers, if you want to say one Achilles heel, has been them against the mobile quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, we saw that. Russell Wilson, we saw that. So that's a little bit of an issue with them. And if you look at what the 49ers were able to do in terms of pressure in Aaron Rodgers, a lot of times he was getting off his first read because it was just Adams. And then he didn't have a second read that he trusted, and that's when they started to cave in on him. Patrick Mahomes, that process is going faster. That ability to get the ball out, I think, because of all the weapons he has, he's going to have more options, more outlets, so he won't sit back there and hold it as much.
They can't handle this defensive front. And
cannot?
They cannot handle this defense up front. And they're going to have to figure out ways to try to neutralize and slow them down. The scariest proposition here is Andy Reid isn't big, or at least has never really established running. They're going to have to establish this run game. They're going to have to show Mahomes can escape when he needs to in some of these pass plays in order to slow them down. If they're able to slow them down, then they may have some success.
Yeah, moving the QB spot.
Yeah.
The key to this game to me will be Patrick Mahomes' accuracy on hot reads and shorter routes. If he has any weakness, he can get inaccurate on the shorter routes. Some of these drops that are being pinned on wide receivers are actually balls that are a little bit off target and they're harder catches. And again, if the guy has any weakness, it's the short, hot pass. And that, to me, is going to be critical for the Chiefs' offensive line. Give him enough time to work a little bit further downfield. If those four guys get initial pressure, it could be an interesting afternoon for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, by the numbers, it's a better pass blocking unit. They're 6th ranked versus a run blocking unit, 17th ranked. So I ain't going to cook the books up here. The Packers were like 3rd ranked, and you saw what happened to the Packers as well. So they're going to be able to get after him. But like you said, it's the outlets, it's the options, it's the quick decision making that separates Patrick Mahomes probably from every other quarterback we've seen him go against.
No question. His ability to get out of the pocket is going to be key. And I think in this game, you'll probably see the Chiefs try and move his spot, get him out of the pocket on rollouts, play actions, things like that, where they can eliminate some of that rush immediately and get him some easy completions, kind of running and doing what he does best, and not let those guys set their sights on a quarterback who's just sitting in the middle of the pocket. And all they know is they got to get to that 7-yard spot quick.
Andrew, before we go, I want to just throw you one quick curveball. You're a free agent. You expect to be back with the Rams, or you're going to have to look around?
I expect to be back with the Rams. I look forward to that opportunity. I hope it works out. And I know the kids are enjoying it and enjoying being in California, and especially Mama enjoys it, so you know what that means. So I look forward to the opportunity to be back here.
When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post jobs in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job post so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/speak and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/speak. Terms and conditions, exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31, 2020.
LeVar Arrington and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to baseball, where Derek Jeter was just elected to the Hall of Fame on his first ballot, winning votes from all but one of the voters, the second highest percentage after his teammate Mariano Rivera. Jeter was the face of the Yankees and baseball for a generation, and compared to other guys who were the face of their sport, Jeter's 5 titles, 14 All-Star selections, stacked up pretty well against Tom Brady and LeBron James, but Jeter never won an MVP. So what I want to know is, how would you rank these guys' careers?
Go ahead.
All right, baby, let's do it. And third is Derek Jeter. In second place, we have Tom Brady. And the king is number one because he's the damn king. He hit the greatest heights. And it's a combination of team success, individual success, being the reason you won, and being in the conversation of the greatest to ever do it, no, regardless of position. None of those other guys qualify in that situation. So to pump up LeBron, let me just distance him from Tom Brady. LeBron from day one, number one pick overall, not no 6th rounder. Good, you won a lot of team success, but have you ever been considered by talent the best and greatest quarterback?
No, because Peyton Manning won more MVPs, had more All-Pros. So there was a conversation of team success that was inflating you in our eyes versus actual individual greatness. Derek Jeter at times wasn't even the best player on his team. So respect to all those guys who are insanely great, greater than I ever was, but LeBron is the greatest of all.
I can't agree with you there because it doesn't say greatest who ranked them by player. It says ranked them by career. And for what it's worth, you got to include other guys on your team to be a part of your career. Okay. So I'm going to start with saying that Derek Jeter is three. The reason why I put Derek at three is he's almost like the Bill Russell of this list, right? He has the accolades, he has the accomplishments, but isn't going to ever be one of those first names out of your mouth when you say greatest ever, when you talk about baseball greats. So I put him at three. I put LeBron at two. And the reason why I put LeBron at two is because when you have that greatest of all time, who had the greatest career, why, what, and where, and how, you're going to say Michael Jordan first. You may say LeBron second. You may say a couple other names. Kobe may jump in there. There's a few others that may come to mind. But Michael Jordan, for the most part, is always going to be the one name that comes up as the first name that comes out. And then I go with Tom Brady. If that same discussion takes place, Tom Brady is going to be in that discussion point with Joe Montana or maybe a couple other guys that, you know, we may throw out there, Jim Brown. But he's always going to be in the greatest that ever did it conversation amongst the annals. So that would be my top three. Mm.
Great minds. I'm with you.
Thank you.
On that list. Derek Jeter, first of all, wouldn't really be in this conversation if it weren't for the intangibles. He's a great leader. Jerry Krause said it about the Bulls, organizations win championships, players don't. In the case of baseball, it truly is organizations. No, I don't know that any one player can dominate. So he is third in my mind. We never talked about him being the best shortstop in the game the way we talk about both LeBron James, my number two, as being the best small forward. I'm not there in talking about him as the greatest who's ever played the game. I don't care what the statistics say. He's not in that conversation for me. Number one, Tom Brady. We do talk about him being potentially the best quarterback who's ever played the game. I'm not going to hold it against him when he got where or who drafted him and how or whatever. The fact of the matter is, seven championships. He's been both a champion and the best at his position. And there's the other that's the intangible with LeBron.
Six.
I was counting ahead.
You inflate them like everyone else does.
Yeah. The other element is there's just, it's so messy around LeBron.
Oh.
If we talk about career.
What?
We talk about what he's done to franchises.
What gate did he have?
Derek Jeter didn't do
anything.
Did nothing but good for the New York Yankees. Mm. Oh. Tom Brady has done nothing
but
good.
You didn't see the footballs get deflated?
Come on now.
I did.
Is that, what, is that, that's
it was
negative?
In New England.
Hey, it ultimately
it
worked.
It happened in
he
New England.
He destroyed his cell phone. Have you ever changed your cell phone?
It all happened in New England.
He destroyed a cell phone, bro.
I just can't believe it. To me, Brady is clearly number one.
No.
Clearly number one. Jeter, to me, edges LeBron by a whisker.
Oh, I'm gonna bust this suit open.
Wow.
What the hell? What the hell? She didn't even have numbers.
I'm just gonna say this again. We're talking about career.
Oh, speak
and,
for yourself.
And one guy on this list is the gypsy.
Who?
When his career is over, they're gonna be sitting around going, oh, is he gonna go in as a Cavalier? Oh, is he gonna go in as a Heat? Oh, is he gonna go in as a Laker? Blah, blah. When you think of Tom Brady and Derek Jeter, New England Patriots, New York Yankees. The Yankees are the greatest franchise in the history of sports. Mm. And probably other than Babe Ruth, I don't know who you think of Yankees more than Derek Jeter.
A-Rod.
He's got five, no. He's got five titles.
Mickey.
All
sick
in
over
one.
Here.
Mickey Mantle, Mickey Mantle.
At least
Mickey
Babe
Mantle.
Ruth won an MVP.
Mickey Damn. Mantle. Derek Jeter. How many ever years he had near unanimous Hall of Fame guy?
Slightly short of it.
And when you think of leadership,
oh, here we go.
And representing a franchise in the greatest way possible.
Prime was a
I just don't think you can do better than Jeter and Brady.
Prime was
how you never win MVP? Talking about you had a greater career than the dude who's won MVPs and championships
in
and been
a sport,
the region.
In a sport that's mm-mm. not as competitive as baseball.
Tom Brady is the Bill Russell of that list.
No way.
Where all of the accolades and team success kind of makes you think of him a little different.
No Brady, Jeter, and James.
Oh, that hurt.
LeBron's a gypsy.
I will say this, in your defense, the one thing with Jeter and Brady, I've never seen them fail in a big moment. Mm. I've never seen them on the biggest stage choke.
Freeze up against the Dallas Mavericks.
I've seen LeBron James. That 2011 losing to the Dallas Mavericks.
No, we saw him quit.
We saw him quit as well.
Brady has
Brady threw more interceptions and touchdowns last year and won a ring. Here y'all go.
LeBron James quit against the Boston Celtics. Everybody knows it. And he choked against the Dallas Mavericks.
Brady is not a Patriot for life. He's going to be with the Chargers.
Coming up. LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. All right, let's move to Antonio Brown, who keeps getting himself into more and more trouble. Just a week after posting a video of himself berating the police and the mother of his children, the unemployed wide receiver is now a suspect in a battery case. Brown and his trainer allegedly battered the driver of a moving truck who had delivered some of AB's belongings to his home. The trainer has already been arrested. AB allegedly is holed up in his house. Like Tony Montana at the end of Scarface.
Ooh, know how that ended. Don't
not
do that
answering
well.
Any calls. Yeah.
Not enough security.
We think any NFL team at this point still has interest in AB.
Absolutely. I think all of these issues, as sensational as they are, how they rile up the fan bases and makes everybody say, no way is AB going to be in the league. All these issues you should put in one bucket, and that bucket has a hole in it. Because all this goes away if AB does two things before a team can show interest. One, he gets clinical help, and that is actually publicized. Like everyone knows AB's under therapy. Two, he does a social media cleanse. Because you're not going to take away his ability to play.
Enema. Social media.
Pop Warner, bro. I was 2 pounds overweight every Friday night. But you got to give him a social media enema. And once you give him that, a team is going to sit there and say, look, in the eye of the storm, it looked impossible for him to get an opportunity. But this too shall pass. So right now is not the moment to measure this. This is all on AB to do those two things, and he will be in the league.
Teams will have interest. They won't act on that interest. He is self-destructing. He's sabotaging himself. And when I read this, I don't know if this is him. I played with Glenn Holt. Glenn Holt, like, was my homie. Mm. Like, we played together in Cincinnati. He went on to coach in Kentucky. And I don't know if this is him or not, but he's so mild-mannered. I know he grew up in Miami. I'm hoping with him being around AB, he can talk some sense into him. But will a team show interest? They'll show interest. There's no way they're going to act on that interest because of the way he's conducted himself since he's been out of the league. Like, he keeps sabotaging himself, putting things on social media. And now this, it's like when you think it's over, it's something else. Okay, that can't get any. Oh, it's something else. Mm. And whether the help is going to help him, you just can't chance this as a team and say, we're going to bring him in because if it implodes, oh, all the warning signs were there.
Glenn Holt, by the way, is the trainer who's been arrested, right. Been working with AB, former right. teammate of TJ's, we think.
And I agree. I think there will be continued interest and paying attention to AB and what his possible trajectory could be at this moment. It's interesting. A name that came to mind for me was Lawrence Phillips. If you know who Lawrence Phillips was, one of the greatest tailbacks to play, went to Nebraska, got drafted. Within the 2 years that he was with the Rams, he spent 23 days total in jail, all right? Still went to another team, all right? Continued to get into trouble, still made it on to another team.
Different day and age, now.
It is a different day and age. It is a different day and age.
He wasn't a Hall of Famer either.
But with that being, said,
chances.
That does not mean it being a different day and age that the brain trust of these teams are thinking the way social media is thinking. They're still thinking in the ways that they're thinking as a franchise.
I'm going to say why the different day and age is a hell of a point, but we also have to remember, as much as I criticize AB, I want to be fair. Lawrence Phillips was domestic violence, nearly killed a woman in college.
And it's still on a whole, got a chance.
No, I know. It's on a whole different level than AB.
Yes.
And so I get the analogy. I think it's an appropriate one because although—
That's the extreme.
Yeah, the extreme level is where we went with— And AB's behavior is like, wow, he's going to hurt himself or hurt someone. And now we have a moving truck guy who's been hurt by AB. And look, violence, when you're in this spiral that he's in, man, woman, or child can get it. And AB is out of control. And I think that there's 32 NFL teams. I think 30 to 31 of them have put him on a no-fly zone.
No contact list.
He's done. Maybe there is one team. I don't know who it is. But I think for the overwhelming majority of teams, and it's for the reason TJ said, is because he may go get help. He may do a social media cleanse. But I think most teams are like, he's a ticking time bomb.
But football doesn't have that heart. No matter what age, what culture we're living in, football still has a laser focus on ability. That's why we talked about other people getting second, third, fourth chances with worse indiscretions than AB. AB is a lot of accusations and a lot of craziness, which can all be fixed if you package it in someone who's been rehabilitated and comes out and shows you a different way. So does he have more catches than issues? Yes. Does he have more touchdowns than issues? Yes. Is he still a Hall of Famer?
I disagree.
Okay, let's hear it.
No. Again, I can't list you a laundry list of, but his issues are so severe, they trump the catches, the yards.
What, clown and craft? I mean, no, his issues are, but how they're being demonstrated, you clown and craft. You got into an issue.
You're holed up in your house right now avoiding the police. Mm-hmm. That's some bizarre behavior.
Bizarre.
Now, is it in that defense, if they really want, if it was really a problem,
they go in.
They're not going in
because they don't have enough.
Yeah. No. I based on what I read, it's like, again, this is a high profile individual who the police know is unstable. I don't want to make this comparison, but again, when someone holds themselves up in their house and avoids the police, they're a dangerous person. And so do you force your way in and set off more danger? Just think of all the news stories we've heard.
I love you, ma'am. Nah, that means he knows his rights and he's like, if you want me, you come get me because you have the right to come get me. The reason you're not, you took away my boy. You took him away because you had something on him. You have nothing on me. You may be trying to investigate to further your cause. But in this moment, AB is just sitting there rightfully as a homeowner saying, if you want me, arrest me.
You know, to go back onto the football field.
Hold for one second, Lamar.
Yeah.
Again, if we go look into the history, there's been a lot of people standing on that right. I'm in my home. You can't come get me. I've done nothing wrong. And major news stories and documentaries about how those things have spilled out of control. Again, I would imagine AB's a gun owner. There's a lot of reasons for the police to be careful how they approach someone who comes off this unstable. Caution here, particularly how high profile he is. Caution here is the better part of
it. A police force has just discontinued their connection with him last week. Yeah. Is now sitting there saying, oh, we ain't gonna come in there and get AB. He did something
for those
wrong.
Very reasons. Because again, the potential lawsuit, you went overboard with AB because you don't like him. You just distanced yourself from him because you don't like him. There's a lot of reasons for the police to be. He's holed up in his house. He can't hurt anybody. He got to come out
of something.
Obey
the law before a lawsuit. Law comes before a lawsuit. You need to do the law and do what you're supposed to enforce. I don't think they just can't enforce it, but.
Two other things that I think could help him get back into the league. One, we didn't bring up. He could go to the CFL and show that he can manage his expectations, his
never.
Emotions.
Where?
Hold on.
0% chance.
But
sorry, go ahead.
It's possible. Like, this is
CFL or XFL.
This is a possibility for him to prove that get another opportunity.
Right.
All right. The second would be to do a negotiation where it's based upon your performance and your behavior.
Oh, you mean with New England?
I'm about to say, we've seen that wrong.
A minimum deal easily disposed of.
That ain't gonna work. Speak for Yourself will be live at Loomis Park on South Beach starting next Monday as we get ready for Super Bowl 54. Audience check-in starts at 2 p.m. So come out and catch the fun. We have some big-name guests already booked. including Steelers linebacker Devin Bush, Cowboys legend Jason Witten, and friend of the show Frank Caliendo. All right, TJ Huspinzada and Steve Berline are back. Let's move to the Miami Dolphins, who are well-positioned for this year's draft with three first-round picks, including number 5 overall. But reportedly, the guy they really want is LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, who is likely headed to Cincinnati, number 1 overall. But Miami's bounty of picks could put them in position to make a serious run at moving up to the number 1 spot. All right, the question here is, should the Dolphins give up their first 3 picks, their 3 first-round picks, for Joe Burrow?
Absolutely not. That's just too much. Is Joe Brady coming with him? Is a real conversation. And I say that just because I don't hear a lot of people say this, and if I have to beat up a prospect, I have to look at the pros and the cons. Who was Joe Burrow before Joe Brady last year in terms of success? Obviously not the same. And there's a conversation. Let's start it. Could that be a one-hit wonder in terms of production? We know not in terms of talent. He is who he is. But in terms of getting that talent out, sometimes it's about the matching. Styles make fights. So I don't know if he's going to go to a situation and have that type of success that warrants and justifies 3 first-rounders. For me, that's too pricey.
I like Joe Burrow a lot. I really
love
do.
Love him
or
like him?
I love him. I like him more than I like Sam Bradford. I like him more than Baker Mayfield.
I hope.
What I'm saying is that I feel
what about Tua?
I wasn't confident about either of those guys. I'm confident about Burrow. And Tua's got the question marks about the injury situation and all that. But I agree with what you're saying, though. 3 first-round draft picks, that's just too much. Now, if you're talking about 5 and 18 and maybe giving them that second-round pick or maybe the first-round pick from 2021 they got from the Houston Texans, that I would think about. But 3 first-round picks this year – That team needs a little bit more first-round draft choice material in that lineup. So I think they can't give
TJ,
up three.
TJ, before you go, what makes you love Joe Burrow? What qualities?
I think he's got all of it. You look at number one, the 76% completion percentage, the fact that he can make all of the throws, the fact that he is very mobile, much more mobile than most people give him credit for. You saw in that national championship game a couple of really nice runs and extending plays. I think he can do everything. I also like the fact that he can sit in the pocket and pick you apart. He can break your back inside the pocket. He's good enough mobility-wise to get outside the pocket and extend plays. He can make all the throws, and I also like his confidence. He's got a streak to him.
If he is that, you give up whatever you have to give up. If you think that highly of him, you give it up. The 5th pick, the 18th pick, and the 26th pick, you give that up. The draft is an inexact science. You might think, oh, the 18th pick can be turn into this player. He might not be. The 26th pick, which is late in the first round, if Joe Burrow is that guy, you give up whatever you have to get him if you believe that much in him, because you can be that quarterback away from turning the franchise around. And who are these 2 picks going to be? You just don't know. I'm a believer in Joe Burrow just like you are. Mm-hmm. I believe if they offered the Bengals 4 first-round picks, they would probably still say no.
That's the question.
I don't believe they'll take that. But if I'm the Dolphins, I give up whatever I can.
I think they might, Bengals might, because, again, the 5th pick, you can get a quarterback.
Jason, my analogy was this.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm going to say this, and my wife going to slap me when I get home. I'm going to say it anyway.
Ooh, premeditated.
If you go out and you see 3 beautiful women, we talking Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert. Mm. They all look good. Mm. You might want Joe Burrow, but you cool with the other 2.
I'll holler at all of them.
You holler at all of them.
Whatever.
And the Bengals can still draft at number 5.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying, yeah.
That's why I'm saying they could take.
Trade.
They could make,
I just don't
trade.
Think they will. Don't slap me when I get home either.
But look, and I agree with TJ. If your scouting report on Joe Burrow is correct, and if that's what Miami has evaluated him like, this is the can't-miss guy at the quarterback position, why wouldn't you give up 3 picks? Because you're really only giving up 2. Why wouldn't you for the guy that you can sleep at night? I know I got my quarterback. I know I got a prospect that won't miss. When you get to 18 and 26, you don't feel that level of confidence about the guys you're drafting.
No, I'm with you. But now, hypothetically, if they did not have that 3rd first-round pick, and the best they could do would be to offer 2 first-round picks and then a second round pick this year, or you Bengals, you get the choice. A second round pick this year or a first round pick next year. You're still getting three really high picks. You're not getting that third first round pick. And the only reason they would be pushing for that if they're smart, if the Bengals are smart, is because it's there.
You know they have the draft capital. You take as much as you – it's no discounts here at all. Well, y'all want the number one pick, you're going to have to pay for it or it's a no-go. No dice.
My mind is, if something so pricey, like in our real world, I'm shopping with the wife, wherever, it has to be perfect. Like, I can't beat it up in any respect. And there is a reason to pause when it looks at Joe Burrow. The film is always on. And let's not edit out the junior year and 57% in terms of completion percentage. Like, and then he went to Joe Brady in 76. Like, which one do you believe in? You can say I have reasonable doubt. You can say I have no doubt. But no one's saying that's perfect. There's a reason the junior year was that on record.
When you don't play a game that's meaningful for 3 years, when you first get back out there, oh, that's going to be – he hadn't played since high school. That's going to be the case. You kind of got to get your eyes up to the speed of the game, start feeling the rush. That's going to happen.
Now, is that the perfect purse, I asked my wife. You know it's been salvaged.
How much it costs, right?
Right. The price is taking me out of this conversation. Not the talent, not last year's production. Just the price makes me beat up his resume.
So now what you said, though, if the Dolphins can't step up and close that deal, what do you think Joe Brady's going to say with the Carolina Panthers sitting at number 7 with their situation
gonna
right now?
It's going to be too pricey there as well.
They're going to give what they can give.
Yeah.
But the question is with the Panthers, is that one of the reasons maybe Joe Brady is in Carolina right
now? Yeah, I certainly think it is. I think Carolina wants him. I think that Carolina and Miami are going to be in a competition to try to get him. You know, if I'm Joe Burrow, again, and I said this earlier, Steve, earlier in the week, I don't want to play in Cincinnati, and I eventually tell Cincinnati.
He's going to get buried in Cincinnati. Yeah. That's right.
I would force them to trade me. And again, Cincinnati, originally there was a report from Adam Schefter, I think, that they won't consider trading. And then when a Cincinnati executive came out and said, no, that's not true, we haven't evaluated what we're going to do, I think the guy's on the market. And the knock I would have on him, Marcellus, is there's a stat about number of starts in college predict future success. He hasn't had the 3 years of starting, the 36 to 40 starts like some of the other guys. That would be my knock on him. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Kansas basketball coach Bill Self. Who's your big dummy of the day?
Big dummy of the day goes to the person that set up and tried to blame my nephew for them busting out them little tight-ass suits.
Oh, you got that?
You need to stop.
Thank you.
Whatever.
I can't stand worse than a grown man wearing clothes that don't fit him.
It's the only way I can look good. Right.
Let's talk Bill Self, whose Kansas Jayhawks got into an ugly brawl last night against Kansas State. Self is in his 17th season at Kansas, winning one national title and going to 3 Final Fours in that time. Marcellus, has Self actually underachieved at Kansas?
There's a slight – that lands somewhere with me in terms of you think of this blue blood program and you're saying in 17 years only one. But that said, one still gets you into the threshold of you've done your job, especially with 3 Final Fours. But I know expectations are absurd out there, so they will probably feel
14 conference titles. He has not underachieved. This is a crazy question. I shouldn't have asked it.
It's about conference championship. That's all you care about? Conference championship?
Uncle Jimmy.
Really? Yes, sir.
You are from Kansas. You are from the dot.
Most definitely.
You have any thoughts on Bill Self?
It's the diggy, diggy dot.
Look here, man. Let me explain this to y'all, man. I need y'all to follow me this.
Yeah.
Bill Self is the Bill Belichick of the NCAA.
The Bill Belichick.
Okay, so in other words, this ain't his first brush with the law.
A couple gates here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Listen, what I'm saying. Bill Self ain't no stranger to investigations, shall we say. Look here, let me tell you something. I talked to Bill last night. I called him and said, Bill, you know them folks is going to be real upset at you about what happened last night. Hey, man, Bill's a cold piece, man. Hey, man, Bill turned into Tony Montana just like that. Bill said, hey, I take a couple of quaaludes. They love me in the morning. Hey, no harm, no foul, you hear me? He think about it, he's probably right.
No harm, no foul.
Hey, think about it. This is really much to do about nothing.
The fight?
Look, man, this just goes to show what happens when you go from sugar to spit real quick.
That ain't it.
Look, man, I told you, I'm from Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I done lived there longer than you.
Yeah.
Look here, I done lived there so long, I'm beyond the blue blood. I'm what they call a dark blue blood.
Purple blood.
Yeah,
you should know. Look at me. Point being, I'm just trying to tell you, man, I've grown to the point that I know the difference between chicken salad and chicken spit, even though they both come from a chicken.
Okay.
Look here, man, let me tell you something. That's how I know how this program works. You know, this ain't nothing but a rivalry. And this is how we do in Kansas City. You know, if it's Chiefs, Raiders, if it's the Royals, the Cardinals, you know, KU, K-State, Whitlock, a pair of Spanks, it don't matter, it's a rivalry.
It's a war.
You understand? It's just how we do.
Do you have a point?
I mean, for real.
Please.
Look here, and by the way, since I do, I have a point, you damn right. You trying to sit up and like, act like your boy Roy Williams ain't got no doo-doo on his shoe. Here's a little fun fact, Fluffy. Hey, is Roy Williams or is Roy Williams not the one that brought Lester Earl into KU?
Now, until today,
you know they still call that the Louisiana Purchase, right?
That is true. That is what they call the Lester Earl recruitment.
Hey, man, the NCAA is a tough group, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, the motto around the Midwest is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't eating. That's why you had to get out.
Because he was eating.
Yeah. All right, let me get to my Bill Self approval rating.
Oh, okay.
I have him at a 75 All-Star, 22 job performance, 19 all-time greatness, 18 character and authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bill, but, you know, a little something up top.
So it's
questions
like,
the authenticity.
Yeah, exactly. When I found out that the governor is helping them save on taxes, yeah. I said, oh, not the most authentic, man, but still all-star.
All right, the internet has him as a dumpster fire.
Reacted
a little hard on a guy with 14 conference titles.
Fight.